Episode 70.
I would say some of my students that I taught years ago now are calling me and say, you know what? I need to get back. I'm rusty. And I would say it would take about an ATEC, a Master ASE Certified L1, a guy who was on his game that really can do it, use a meter, use a scope, gas analyzer, really know his crap. He's starting to fall behind in about 3 years because technology is just moving that fast.
Welcome aftermarketers to Remarkable Results On Point, focusing on a single topic with a guest who goes on point with the subject matter.
A warm welcome to Jerry G. Trulia from ATTS, Automotive Technical Training Services. G, are you ready to go on point?
I am. Let's go.
Hello, aftermarketers. Carm Capriotto here, and welcome to episode 70 in a very in-depth discussion with trainer G. Jerry Trulia. This episode is slightly longer than usual. I looked everywhere to edit the interview, and when I listened to the value G was bringing to you, 99% of it had to remain. Therefore, I ask that you stay with the episode because it is so packed with training wisdom right up until the end that you'll not want to miss it. G. Jerry Trulia has a resume so long that you'll need to see the show notes page to see the roots of G's experience. What I can tell you about this very comprehensive and enlightening episode is that you will find that G is very passionate about training and the future success of the industry. Since he's been at the training game for years, I'm not surprised that you've not been to one of his training seminars, seen one of his YouTube videos, or been to one of his webcasts. You may just learn something about G that you didn't know before. G. Jerry Trulia is a founding member of the Non-For-Profit Technician Service Training Group, TST. You'll hear more about that inside our interview. Here is just a small list of some huge takeaways from G. He will let you know what the hot training topics are going to be in the near future. What he sees is a shift in the way learning happens. When I asked him about finding good techs, wow, he was very pointed and concerned about this most important industry issue. You heard the sound bite in the beginning of the episode, and his big quote about keeping current is, if you don't update, you evaporate. No wiser words spoken in the face of rapid technology changes every day in our industry. Hey, are you ready to lock onto one super conversation? I believe it will be one to put on your favorites list. Get focused. Here we go. Gee, what makes ATTS unique?
Well, you know, developing different and specific training programs for different clients. I think that's what makes us unique. Things like heavy-duty brake programs, hybrid training, and my unique style of actually delivering the training.
And what behold is that?
Well, you know, I know it's very difficult for adult people to learn stuff. Adult education is a bit different than anything else.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I sit in many classes myself. Because that's, you know, you always got to learn stuff, and some people can go to sleep. Well, not in my class. I have a good sense of humor without any using any vulgarity.
Right,
but,
yeah.
You know, I get people to laugh and think about stuff, and it's not that I can remember any jokes. I can make something happen out of thin air, a situation where they're going to remember what they learned in my class.
So you're a gregarious, engaging, you're never going to sleep in my class because I'm going to make sure that doesn't happen. You probably get up to people, look them right in the eye, don't you?
Exactly. Well, you know, I basically put my training room in a U shape when I'm doing hands-on training.
Yeah, okay.
Up to 20 people. And I use a U and I walk down and I say, I'm doing my Jay Leno monologue. You know, I keep them awake and no one's going to sleep. They're all facing each other. When I'm doing big crowds, I walk the room. I've done this at the SAE Congress, IM Solutions, the Clean Air, you name it, all over the place. I taught from Hawaii, Alaska, all the way down to Florida, and just about everywhere in between.
Man, you have been all over. So where is training going today? Leader-led, web-based? Is there any kind of shift?
I think there is a shift. You know, tonight I have a leader-led. I'm doing a class. It's an ongoing class. But I would say most people are now finding information on the web. I think where it's going is just-in-time training through a non-for-profit group that we took over from SAE called Service Technician Society. I run TST, Technician Service Training. And we've been doing this, I think it's our 13th or 14th year that we've been operating this non-for-profit group. And web seems to be getting more people in and more attention than people live. I see a shift in the age of the person in the class. And what I mean by that is, unfortunately, everyone's getting up in my age. You know, they're the 60s or late 50s. And I think this is also backed up by ASE, where the average master tech is somewhere in the late 50, 60-year-old range. So young people don't seem to want to physically come out. That doesn't mean they won't go on their smartphone or they won't go on an iPad or some sort of device to learn some information.
You brought up a great, great point. Is the young people that don't want to come out, is it because of the family issues that are going on, time stressed, or do they just not see the value of being in a class?
I think they don't know the value of being in a class because it's the generation of let's get it right now and do it on this electronic device, you know, whether it's a Windows tablet or Android or, you know, it's not the same thing.
I see what you mean, yeah.
So I notice a lot of technicians will use Google, YouTube a lot. I probably have over 200 little videos. Some of them will actually go out 3.5 hours on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
And that seems to be where people know me from. Even though I wrote many articles over the years for professional trade magazines and currently still write for Motor Age, when I'm on the road teaching somewhere, people come up to me and they'll say, "Hey, I know you." I'll look at them. I go, "Well, you know, I pretty much suck at names, but I never forget a face." And they go, no, you never met me, actually. I know you from YouTube and watching your videos.
Got it. Now, webcasts, webinars, are they two different things?
No, they're actually the same. When I was the P10 web personality, I did the professional tool and equipment. When they started doing webcasts, they selected me. I did that for about 2-3 years. I think it was 3 years. And then they got someone else for a short bit and decided to shut it down. And who knows, we may come back and do that again with them. But they had an issue calling it webcast. There was some sort of name thing. So they wanted to call it, webinar. Webinar was originally, Then we called it webcast. It was someone owned the name or something or another. So they told me, don't say webinar, say webcast.
So if you do a webinar, are you doing it live or are you recording it for later consumption?
See, that's a great question. I like to do them live because, you know, the real world is live things happen in the shop. People make mistakes or whatever. And sometimes on a technical thing, I'll say, hey, this is live and this is what really could happen to you in the shop. So if something happens, I bounce back from it without making too much of a delay. Sometimes there have been a couple of different tools or something we use that beyond my capability, something messed up, we just had to move on to something else, not to have dead air. Dead air with a webcast is murder.
Not good. What's the attention span? 8 seconds, right?
Yeah, and then they're gone.
Yeah.
But, you know, here's the amazing thing. We also do, I do webcasts with Motor Age with Pete Meyer.
Yeah.
And two of us play off each other. When I do webcast for our non-for-profit group, TST, I usually have Pierre Respeau with me or a couple of other guys just so we keep everything moving. One of my concerns, I never say anything that I don't believe is to be true, and I will not push any product or tool that I don't believe in. If I haven't used it and I have a lot of equipment, I have to be thankful to a lot of companies. And sometimes I respectfully you know, decline the tool and send it back or tell them don't send it to me, because I don't want someone seeing me out there that is working hard on vehicles. They go spend this money, and then the tool don't work.
Yeah.
So, you know, I've turned stuff like that down.
Well, that's a great point, not to make any kind of training into an infomercial. And I do believe techs just don't want to be sold something when they go to training.
That is correct.
Well, look, I'm glad you mentioned Pete Meyer. We've had Pete on. I actually met you in Detroit at NACE Cars in the summer of 2015. And that's when I got all excited about having Pete on. And I've actually had him on episode 36 and episode 59. And now I got G. Woo! I'm hitting a home run here. So I'll bet you the biggest question that shop owners come to you with, they probably just pick up the phone and say, gee, where am I going to get a tech?
Ah, and you know, you hit the nail on the head. You know, having been in the New York area and doing training, and I even taught with a friend of mine, Armin Hines, you know, we go back to the early 80s, people have called me up from multiple shops. I need a good tech. And finding a good tech nowadays is tough. I don't see as many young people coming out.
Yeah.
What I was surprised about when we talk about training and Pete Meyer, when Avistar, MotorAge, ATSG, Wayne Colonna, and ATTS and TST, myself, we put together one of the best training events ever. Over 2,000 technicians came out for free training in Chicago at Auto Mechanica Chicago.
Yeah.
That's where I seen a whole bunch of new people that really excites me. There's someone in the country, somewhere in the country, I should say, that someone is looking for a job to get into the automotive business. But it doesn't seem to be in the big areas. You know, the LAs or California and New York, it doesn't seem to be as much. I think there's a stigma against, you know, sending your kid to school to be a technician.
Gee, have you ever gone out and spoke to parents, spoke to guidance counselors about careers in the aftermarket?
Yes. I've done that even years back when my kids were in grammar school, and I went in with my uniform on. You know, here, I'd let the kids see that, and that I was a mechanic. And I said, you know, I'm proud what I do. I keep America running. Your moms and dads, and by the way, at that school, I fixed most of the teachers' cars at the time.
Yeah, right.
And
yeah,
especially
yeah.
the principal. I said, you know, you wouldn't be here, and your mom and dad probably couldn't get to work if I didn't fix the car.
Yeah.
And the important thing is I help keep the air clean, along with teaching a whole bunch of other technicians. I also sit on our high school BOCES board.
Okay.
Now, you being in New York, you know what BOCES is.
I
for
do.
Those that don't, it's a high school program, and I'm on the automotive board. I used to sit on a couple of them. I currently sit on the Northern Westchester board.
Okay.
And I think it's important to get the word out. Unfortunately, I think that too many people think working with their hands is not something they should be doing.
I know. We've had Trish Serator from ASE and AS
excellent.
On, Tony Mala recently. I mean, the dialogue continues to be the same. And, gee, let me throw this by you. I had this discussion with Tony Mala, and I said, what if we have a national get out to the counselor day in the industry? Could that every shop owner, you know, within the sound of my voice, we come up with this actual day next spring, and here's the script, but you don't have to follow it. Go out and start spreading the word. This is a technical job. You need the STEM program graduates, science, technology, engineering, and math people to work on the future automobile. And anyway, what do you think of that crazy idea?
Well, I think it's not a bad idea, but I'm going to tell you what I think the problem is. And I've discussed this multiple times being on different panels or in an audience.
Mm-hmm.
I think if shop owners were able to get enough, they don't get enough money for what they do. And the reason is they cannot, because there are too many big box stores out there, you know, free this, very cheap, $59.95 brake job. Consumers don't know the difference between, you know, the brake job done properly or the procedure that should be followed, and how much education goes into the guy. They'll bring their expensive BMW, Mercedes, and look for the cheapest tires. Sure. They look for the cheapest oil change.
Right.
So unless you could educate the shop owner to charge the right price, and it's not, I'm not advocating price fixing, but you go and, you know, get your printer fixed or your computer fixed, everyone is getting over $100 an hour to do that.
Right.
Okay. Now, car stuff, I have a guy down the road from us, and this is in New York. We're 40 miles north of New York City. He's getting $45 an hour.
Whoa. There's a mistake.
There's a big mistake. When he has to buy a Snap-on tool or any other, he's going to pay the same amount I'm going to pay. He has to work a lot harder. But people don't understand the difference, and they don't understand the difference. ASE, you mentioned Trish. She's a great lady. And Tony, who used to be there now with ASA, and Tim Zirkle, great people. I'm a big proponent of ASE certification. I got my ASEs back, my double gear, when it was the blue and Niassi back then.
Okay.
Automotive truck. And currently one of the world-class certified technicians. I still keep my certifications up. And I'm happy to say, you know, even with a hybrid class that I just did, I encouraged all those guys to go out and get ASE certified, because they'll know the time it takes, the training they had to take. They were with me over 36 hours for training. Okay. That money they spent, but the time they spent,
right,
they got to now convey this to the consumer. Now, once that's done, then I think what's going to happen is the industry, the shop owners, have to really step up to the plate and make a conscious effort to pay technicians. There's too much of this pay half on the book, half off the book. We've had a lot of round tables about this. No uniforms, vacation maybe 1 week, maybe 2 weeks. It's not a real professional job, and I think this is why families tell their kids, don't go into it. They look at it as a loser job, and it's not. I've done very well. My kids all went to graduate school, Columbia and Wharton. So you could imagine those are phenomenal schools.
Wow, phenomenal.
I made good money in this business. I continue to make good money in this business. But I also work hard, and I have good work ethics.
Right.
You know, you work hard, you can work long hours, don't rip people off. I love what I do. Now, when you pay technicians, and when I ran my multiple locations, everyone was legitimately paid on the book. They had a retirement program. They had uniforms, vacation, sick days. You got to take care of people. And this way, we could attract other people into the business. The typical consumer, when they bring their car in, they hear profanity in the back. They see dirty, filthy places. They see guys with their asses hanging half out. And I hate to say that, but this is the truth. And it's not the whole industry. There's many of us that are good. You know, I'll go and say someone like Cindy Brown out in California, you know, Scott Brown's wife. They run a professional shop. I've been to many other shops in the country. Andy Fedick, who's out in Ohio, Rad Air. Phenomenal, clean, neat shops, professional shops. And there's many others. Carolyn out at Luscious Garage.
Sure.
Chiquette. She runs a professional show. This is what you need. And unfortunately, the ones who don't, it's just like the bad person in any ethnic group or anything. What do people look at? Oh, that bad guy. That whole group is bad. It's not the whole group is bad. But mechanics and shop owners do take that hit. And if we cannot change our image, we are not going to attract new people into this business.
Very profound. You're really saying it's on the shop owner to make the changes.
It is. You know, I like what Rec Escalambre, who used to work at Skyline College, he headed something up at Vision. I think it was a couple of years ago. And George Menchu and, of course, Scott Brown were doing the cameras and televising it. And Pete Meyer, myself, and they had a whole bunch of people up there. And we stood up. You know, when you hear some of these people say, oh, everyone makes $100,000 in the automotive industry. Well, they're fooling themselves. Yes, many people do. I'm happy to say I make six digits plus, okay? But there are too many people that do not. And you can't get there overnight. I did a paper years back at the SAE Congress called Life After Wrenching. And basically, I had the top dozen guys. It was Mark Warren, George Menchu, and many, many others that I, you know, too long to name. But basically, everyone got up and told their story, how they started from pretty much nothing. We all, you know, did it as a side thing, going to school, whatever, fixing our own cars. But it all led into everyone had an injury, okay? And only the few of us, my top dozen people, only the few of us really made the money. How many people are going to be, you know, a technical writer, a shop owner, you know, invent a tool like Larry Goge from the Smoke Machine at the time? You know, Ralph Bomadieri, who was the head of the New York State Service Association. You know, Tom Mettner, who was the head of CAT at the time. These people were all people. Ralph Birnbaum, who was the editor of Import Service magazine and a good friend. We worked together for years. Don Schnell, who did Smog House. You know, these people were the few that made it to the top. What's the career path for the technician? I'm going to tell you what it is in a short thing. From 18 to 25, they're learning. They're a D type of technician, no matter what they think. Now, but they're starting to get better. 26 to 30, they start maybe getting a C minus. Then at about 31 to 35, they hit that C good. 36 to 40, they start banging into the B area. And from there, very few make it to an A. An A technician has to be able to not only rebuild trannies and everything, know how everything works, but be a good diagnostician. And then what happens to you? The career path falls. You get a physical problem. We can't bend and move as we used to, but we still have a great mind. We could still be that great diagnostician. So let's say a guy wants to get out because he hurt his back. I've had a back injury in this business. Where does he go? He becomes the service advisor, the service manager, or the dreaded shop owner. The dreaded shop owner, because he can make money, but he's going to have to put probably 60 plus hours a week in to make the good money. This is what we need to change. We need to give these people career paths where they can make good money. You know, if you send your kid to be a plumber or an electrician, and, you know, before it was, well, you know, be a computer programmer. Well, that has kind of been now like downgraded because you can't make a lot of money. There's too many people that went into that. Okay. So what do? You need to get this industry up. And that means we need to pay the people better, give them better packages to keep them. You know, when I hear, I had a good friend of mine, I won't mention his name because it'll hurt someone else that's in the business. But he is an instructor. He came to me, came with me to Okinawa, Japan, when I taught the Marines hybrid technology. They flew me out to Okinawa. A pleasure and privilege to teach our people in the armed forces.
Great.
But this poor guy never got bonuses, you know. He was someone who bought a lot of his own tools, but he never made the money in wrenching, and he even had some awards wrenching until he got into teaching. And now he's making himself good money. You know, there's that rainbow over that hill. Now, too many young people don't have that, you know, drive. I'll give you an example. I'm doing these night classes. We had about 17 people in the first module. It's an electrical class, goes out six different nights from 6:30 to 10:30. Well, now that I'm doing the second module, we're down to probably about 9-10 people. You know what? Some of them, I just can't do it. I can't spend the time. These are young guys. And the older guys are still in it. They're the guys still coming.
So you're really defining for all of us is that the future doesn't look awfully bright
unless we do something.
Yeah, and so that prompts me to think, does some of the online tech support services diminish the value of training?
You know, you brought up a very good point. And I love Adenafix because we'll talk online, NIATN. But here's the deal. a lot of people go, well, what the hell do I need your training for? And they'll say this to me. I got a Dentifex. I got IATN. Now, when they find a problem, because, and they're both phenomenal services. I highly recommend both of them. But when you put a part in that they said was the part in there, and these people don't know how to use their meter. You know, in that electrical class, I told you 17, 18 people in it. There were only 2 meters that didn't have blown fuses in their voltometers. You know what that tells me? And some of these guys are my age. Some of these guys are younger. It shows me that they don't know really what they're doing. Okay. And I could see it in a class that most people, you know, we give them a hands-on test. We also give them a written test. You know, not as good as an ASE test, and I encourage them to go take an ASE test. But when we give them the hands-on test using the ATS Automotive Test Solution Bernie Thompson board, over 50% of the people will fail the test, even if they're an ASE master tech. We did this through TST in six different states now that I count, 7, count Nevada. And we had people come up and not be able to pass this simple electrical test. We never got past series 6, I think it was.
A few years ago, there were people on the hunt for basic electrical training. And even some of the established technician owners said, I got to get refreshed. I got to get my mind jogged again. You believe that? Is that true?
Well, I believe some of the people want to do that. And I'll tell you this, Colm. What happens years ago, if I called up 25 people to fill my class up of 20, I would get that in a heartbeat. Right now, we send emails out to thousands, literally thousands of people, make hundreds of calls, okay, faxes, and you know what you get? Maybe 15, 17 people. So I think it's two things. I think people say they want it, but they don't want it. They don't want to come out, spend the time, and they don't want to spend the money.
Time and money. Let's just talk about time. Daytime, nighttime, is it any one more preferred over the other?
Well, I think daytime is probably the best for learning, but let's face it. In our industry, with a lot of small business, it's very difficult to send the guy for training. I've done that with my people. I've sent them out during the day. Even when we did Auto Mechanica, I shut the shop down and people went. Okay. When there's any type of training, I just tell people to go to training. Nighttime, I think, is more preferable, but they're tired. And this is where, you know, you really have to be led by. The instructor has to be very animated and keep them engaged.
Right.
I think a lot of the training we do have, and I won't mention companies, but it's mostly seminar-based. Seminar-based is easier to do. You get people in, and we do this even with TST. It's, you know, 3.5 hours or so of training that they're seeing a bunch of slides. The instructor is talking about different things, maybe a couple of videos in it. But there's nothing like doing it. You could read the magazine. You could watch the video or DVD. If you don't do it, you ain't getting good at it.
Hey, G, what subjects are you going to be teaching in the next 5 years?
Well, I think one of the hottest subjects will be VVT for a while, variable valve timing. And that's been out for a while with Vanos. I think you'll see air condition, because there'll be a change with 1234YF. I think some people just will need some information in that. I think there'll be computer technology and scan tool buttonology. Hybrid and electric is definitely going to be a big one. But you know, the number one is going to be electrical, because the vehicle is an electrical device. If you don't understand electricity, you're not fixing anything. And, you know, here's one of my pet peeves. Every tool company, stop giving out all the tchotchke stuff. That means the jackets, the little keychain crap. Take it and shove it. Give these people some information to go get training. You know, Snap-on years back had a very good campaign, and I was a subcontractor for them back then, where they had a kid with his little wagon, like I had when I was a kid, and pushing it, and a picture of the dad or the mom. And where did you first learn about fixing something? Well, that was a great campaign, and the Snap-on dealer would sell classes, and the classes were full. This is when they had their old MT-2500 scan tool.
Okay, right.
And they were filling classes up left and right. And technology drive stuff. A good company that's no longer around, someone like Aspire, did very good training. I did a bunch of their stuff, you know, for them. I used their material for years. In New York State, we had Nick Positano from New York State Department of Motor Vehicle actually set up the ATTP training. Okay. And we did a whole bunch of training programs throughout New York State, from the tip of Long Island all the way up to Buffalo and everywhere in between. But here's what happened. You know, when it came to training, Snap-on dealers were saying, oh, well, I'm losing money because guys are paying for training. They're not buying my tools. That program winded up failing. But you know what's going to fail them more? Snap-on dealers and Mac dealers and all of them, so I'm not trying to pick on Snap-on, please. Phenomenal product. But here's the deal. They are short-sighted. They're not selling the amount of iron, as they call it, you know, sockets, wrenches, and all that, as they did before. Because now you have a different person coming into the business. You have someone that's going to go get tools at Home Depot, Lowe's, whatever, you know, Harbor Freight. They're going to buy crap and just buy some specialty tools that are needed. I think if people were educated, and parts companies as well, not only tool companies, put the money into getting technicians trained. You know, one of the things we're doing through our TST, we have our big event once a year, and we are asking some of our big sponsors that helped us out, give out over $30,000 of equipment each year. We're telling them now, let's put the money in to see if we can get more technicians into training for free. To make the training free. And we have companies like Gary Halpin from Neutronics, you know, that stepped up to the plate. And we have many other companies that like Launch that are stepping up to the plate. And we're hoping to get many, many other companies to do that so we could make mini auto mechanicas where the training is for free, because we did prove it worked. Maybe that's a way at least to get them out, let them look at it.
That's a great point. I love your point. Take what you would be giving away as far as product, put it into the value of training to get more people come for free. And as you said, Auto Mechanica had a couple of thousand techs there. If you could put that regionally around the country, then you're training more people.
That's, you know, that's our goal with TST. We're hoping, you know, we cover four states, and sometimes we've been out to California as well. Well, you know, it's a non-for-profit group where I donate my time, and Pierre and a few others do as well. But we can't do it without money.
You know, interesting.
I put in a lot of my own money to help technicians. And I'm not saying that to glorify myself, but I do. And all my guys on the TST board and girls that do help, you know, we need other people. We need money so we can push that out there rather than getting that free jacket. And I do want to say this, you know, companies like NAPA and CarQuest, Advance, Worldpack, believe it or not, they provide a lot of free training, but they provide it to a venue that is charging technicians. That's the difference. So in other words, they'll say, I'm sponsoring this instructor. They pay the instructor's flight. They pay his car. They pay his room. They pay him. Or her, but guess what? You know what? The poor technician and shop owner still has to pay. I think we need to pass that savings all the way down to the shop owner and technician until we can get these people
up
to speed.
What you're saying is that there's a profit mode out there, and training shouldn't be connected to that.
Well, hey, I don't want to cut myself out of business, but we do need to give back.
No, I don't mean that the trainer shouldn't be paid. You're doing the right service, but there shouldn't be a gross margin upcharge in the middle, I guess what you're saying.
Exactly. What's happening is, you know, instructors and companies, obviously they can't exist without some funding. But all these big companies, do you know what an ad in a magazine costs? One page ad? It's like $10,000.
Yeah, yeah.
How about not advertising for 1 month, and the magazines will hate me, but how about putting that money into training some technicians?
That's a great idea. A big company puts an ad out, and it's a full-page ad, and it says, you will not see an ad of ours in the next 6 months because we're going to take the $60,000 and we're going to get techs going to training.
You bet. You got a smile on my face from ear to ear, as you can see.
Okay, I got a great question. I'm absolutely loving this interview. You are on fire today. So I'm an
Let's see how I get shot when I leave.
Well, gee, I'll edit anything out you want so that you don't
leave
get
it all
shot.
In, man. I just tell it like it is.
All right, baby. Hey, look, I am an A-tech. And how long without going to training will I start to become a B-tech? 1 year, 2 year, 5 years, what would happen?
You know, if you don't update, you evaporate. And, you know, one of the hot buttons that I forgot to mention before is reprogramming. That's another thing that I'm starting to do a lot of. I would say some of my students that I taught years ago now are calling me and say, you know what, I need to get back. I'm rusty. And I would say it would take about an A-tech, a master ASE certified L1, a guy who was on his game that really can do it, use a meter, use a scope, gas analyzer, really knows crap. He's starting to fall behind in about 3 years because technology is just moving that fast. You know, for a while, and I said this before, you know, I'm glad in the building I own, there is an active shop. If I didn't have that active shop that my son ran and, you know, my girlfriend runs, I would not be able to write good articles or be good at what I do, even teaching and writing curriculum. It would be impossible. You know, for a while, I was on the road quite a bit years back doing different programs. It was the same thing I was doing over and over. But I learned a lesson, even helping my son get back in the shop. And I wrote an article on Motorage on this. I started doing oil changes, just helping them out because they were backed up. And an oil change is simple. Well, not when you get into European cars and you got to reset certain things. It takes longer to do the resets or know the nuances of setting things up or reading the oil with a dipless engine, no dipstick engine. You know, not only do you have to use a scan tool, let's say on a Porsche, but you have to get in, move a lever, set it up on their dashboard, or they're going to get an annoying light come on and a warning that their oil needs to be checked. So these are things that, you know, I didn't know because I was doing diagnostic stuff. I wasn't staying abreast of some of the simple stuff.
Yeah.
I hate tires. I hate oil change.
To your point, it's not going to take long to become an insignificant member of a diagnostics team. Or, as you say, tires, lube technician, it's ever changing.
It really is. It really is.
I can't tell you how much I appreciate you being here. Now, would you come back again if we have something else to talk about? I mean, we have tons of things. I have 50 questions I never had a chance to ask you yet.
Sure. I'd be, you know,
what a guy.
Just dependent on my crazy schedule.
No, I know. It took us months to schedule. You're amazing. You're so busy. Well, I mean, I've got a million takeaways. I'm sure our listeners are going to be crazy. And you really lit me up just a few minutes ago when you said, if you don't update, you evaporate. I think that is just fabulous. Well, G. Trulia from Automotive Technical Training Services, thank you so much for sharing your incredible years of training wisdom.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from another inspiring aftermarket professional. Until next time.